He's a man who we were trying to get a Champions League ticket for. And I'm wondering if he was successful. It is, of course, German football's very own Mr. Kit Holden joining us here on World Football Daily. Kit, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. How are you, mate? Did you manage to at least get down to Wembley for the game, or were you lucky enough to get inside at all?
I was lucky enough to get inside. I got a accreditation at the last minute. So, yeah, I had a very good seat, watched it all unfold, and had to rein in the emotions a bit as a closet Bayern fan. So, but no, generally, I mean, a fantastic game all around for German football. I think, you know, Dortmund gave a fantastic account of themselves, both the team and the fans. They were fantastic all the way through the game. And you had to feel for them at the end because it was such a painful way to go down, but I think Bayern deserved it. And after the two lost finals, you know, this was the time when they were going to kind of exercise those ghosts, as it were. And I think on balance, they were. If you had to pick a better team, it was probably them. But generally, I mean, just a ball and barely anything between the two teams.
Were you taken aback at all by how well Dortmund started, though, in that early 25 minutes or so?
No, I wasn't. I thought that was to be expected. I thought, because I mean, I said from the very start of the build-up to this game that, you know, there isn't really an underdog, and the talk of Bayern being far superior to Dortmund is overstated, because they're two very, very even teams. They've got a very, very even record against each other in recent times. They're always very, very close games, and they know how to beat each other, so it was always going to be close. And I think also Jurgen Klopp is the sort of manager who will have given his team a huge rousing speech before they went out on the pitch, so I could always see Dortmund coming out of the blocks very, very quickly. But that said, I do think, you know, although that start was fantastic, but for Manuel Neuer, they might have gone ahead quite early. Bayern didn't look like they were losing control of the game in that first half hour. They were pushed back and they were under pressure, but they still looked in control. And I don't think Dortmund were ever going to keep that up for the whole game. So I think they were quite happy just to weather that storm to start with.
Where were Dortmund exposed by Bayern? We were talking about how kind of more quality and depth in that Bayern Munich side before the game. Do you think it was just a case of they were just a better side, or were there weaknesses that they were able to pick apart in that back four?
Partly. I mean, I think obviously the two goals you saw that they still have a small issue with pressing. I mean, they for the best part of the game they did absolutely fantastically well. Bayern attack was constantly under pressure and Dortmund pressing brilliantly, and then just in those two moments where they took their foot off a little bit, Bayern managed to break through. But I think also the lack of guts did have a role to play, and that, you know, Dortmund perhaps did just lack that creative spark. I mean, the system wasn't particularly weakened, but just that kind of that one player who can just change a game in the right moment, the Dortmund seemed to lack a bit, because Royce, you know, for all his efforts, was not quite that player. And Lewandowski equally so, and had Götze been on the pitch, maybe might have seen a few more goals from Dortmund. But yeah, I think generally it was just a couple of moments from Dortmund where the defensive pressing didn't quite stay at 100%, and also perhaps, yeah, just that lack of creativity.
Should Ribéry and Dante have both been allowed to finish that game with the swing of the arm into the Lewandowski's face from Ribéry, and Dante who was booked earlier in the game and then arguably should have been given another yellow for the penalty incident?
Well, I think Dante should certainly have been sent off. I mean, the first yellow card was completely fair, and the second foul for the penalty was absolutely a yellow card. Even though he's going for the ball, it's still a high foot. It's a dangerous challenge, and it's in the penalty area. So he should have got a red card. I'm not sure about Ribéry. I mean, watching that incident, I think it would have been harsh to give him a straight red for it. I think, you know, if he'd given him a yellow, I would have understood. And obviously, he got a yellow later on in the game as well, but. But generally, I think it would have been a lot more harsh on Ribéry to be sent off for that, because he was shaking him off, and it wasn't sort of a planned kind of elbow to the face. That wasn't the kind of intent there, I don't think. I think he was just sort of reacting a bit. But I think generally the referee, Rizzoli, he did well, because he said, we often see in Champions League games the referees are quite harsh and you know, penalise quite a lot. But he obviously set the tone from the very start of the game that he was going to try and let play flow, and that he wasn't going to make big, big calls in terms of cards. It was only going to be, he was only going to bring the cards out when it was necessary. And he did that for both teams, to be fair on him. And I think, you know, he should have a lot of respect for the way he refereed that game.
Of course, the man of the moment was Arjen Robben, tucking away that late winner for Bayern Munich, and had a stormer of a game, really, out on the flanks for Munich all night. There was talk about Robben potentially going this summer. Is that a game that just shows you how important he can be for this Munich side?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, it is, but I mean, I disagree that he had a storm of a game. I thought for the first half particularly, he was running about a lot, but he was selfish, and he was obviously trying to get that goal himself and exercise his personal ghost and all the rest of it. He had a couple of chances where he should have squared it, and he was a bit, you know, selfish, and we saw the old Robin back a bit. And eventually, obviously, it was brilliant for him to get that goal, and, you know, he deserved it, but generally, I don't think he was one of the best Bayern players on the pitch. I thought Martinez and Schweinsteiger were absolutely phenomenal. Lahm was brilliant as well, and I thought Robin had an up and down game, obviously, like he always does. But and obviously he's key in the crucial moment. But I can see him leaving, because particularly with Götze coming in, it's difficult to see where he's going to fit into Guardiola's system, because obviously there's going to be a bit of a clash of personalities there. He's ex Chelsea, ex Real Madrid. He's a very, very big ego. And once Götze comes in, we might see Müller pushed out to the right and cross fighting for that middle space. And Robin could find himself just ever more sidelined in this team. And I wouldn't be surprised, maybe not this summer, but in January or the following summer, if we see him go.
It would be interesting to see if you do win a Champions League final for somebody and then you're out the door in the middle of the summer. It would be a very peculiar one indeed. Talking of making space in that Munich side as well, almost a kick in the teeth to Dortmund fans straight after the game, with Heynckes saying that Lewandowski's a pretty much done deal to join Munich. Who's leaving then this summer? Is it going to be Gomez? Are we seeing Pizarro go? Or do they stick with all four of these strikers for next season?
Well, I think one of them will go. I mean, one thing to say about the Lewandowski thing is, although Heinkes' statement and Lewandowski's agent's statement today have kind of ramped up the pressure on this deal a bit, nothing has actually changed. I mean, we knew that Bayern were going after Lewandowski, we knew Lewandowski wanted to go to Bayern, and we knew Dortmund were resisting it, and that situation is still the same. Dortmund have said, we haven't had any official request or negotiations yet, so it's not a done deal yet. I mean, it probably will transpire that he comes, but, you know, it's the situation itself hasn't actually changed. But yeah, I think if and when he does come to Bayern, I think we'll certainly see one of those strikers leave, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if Gomez leaves, because Pizarro knows that he's a bit part player in any Bayern campaign. I think he's happy with that. Mandzukic will be fighting for his place as that kind of lone striker, strong striker who holds up the ball, whereas Lewandowski fulfills a slightly different role. And because Gomez plays this very similar role to Mandzukic, you really can't see him getting in the team at all. So I think if any of them are going to go, it'll probably be Gomez.
Is that a bit harsh on Mandzukic because of the great season he's had coming in from the summer and really getting the luck of the draw, taking Gomez's place after Gomez was out injured in the early part of the season and holding this frontman position down, to suddenly, after such a good year, to then have Lewandowski coming in? Is it a bit of a kick in the teeth for him?
It is a little bit, but then I think, you know, he'll know that when you're at a club like Bayern and when there's a managerial change, that you've always got to fight for your place. You know, he's had that this year when Gomez refound his form a little bit midway through the year and Mandzukic dropped off a bit and he had to come back up. He had to fight for his place. And I think he's the sort of striker who can do that. And that's partly why they signed him, I think, because he's a very similar kind of striker to Gomez. He's a bit more versatile, but generally I think mentally he's a lot stronger. Gomez can disappear for long periods. He can have games where he's just place, and then for weeks or months he can just be a very, very ineffective player. And so Mandzukic is perhaps a little bit more reliable, and so that's partly why they signed him, I think, just give themselves a bit more depth. And I think, yeah, Mandzukic will fight for his place. And I think also now the pressure is on Guardiola to do well in all three competitions. He'll want as much depth and as much scope for rotation as he can, and as much scope for flexibility tactically, because, you know, and then getting Lewandowski gives him that option, because if you play Lewandowski, you can play a slightly different way than if you're playing with Mandzukic. So I think he'll be happy to use both strikers on and off, and I think both strikers will be happy to fight for their place.
Kit, just finally then on the Bayern Munich front, you mentioned there the expectation on Pep Guardiola. Has Heinke's achievements, we were talking about if Bayern won a treble, obviously they've still got to win the German Cup next week, but if they do, we're now looking like they probably will win this treble. What does it mean then for Pep coming in and the expectation? Is the expectation to repeat the treble? Is that possible?
It's interesting. I mean, in theory it is, but then again, the expectation of Bayern is always to win the double and possibly to win the treble. You should always be going for the treble as a Bayern coach. And the expectation on Guardiola was always going to be to go as far as possible in all three trophies. So in practice, that hasn't changed much. But obviously, I mean, the fact that Heinkes has done so well in this second half of the season particularly and led this team to, as we say, a probable treble, does put more pressure on him. But at the same time, the fact that people are talking about this perhaps will alleviate a bit of pressure, because people are thinking, well, it's going to be a culture change. You know, Guardiola's going to come in, he's going to have to adapt, the team's going to have to adapt, and Bayern might have a few teething problems. So, even the fact that we're talking about this might be a sign that there is perhaps a little less pressure than we initially think, because it is practically impossible to top what Heinz has done this year.
And on Dortmund's side, how did they regroup? You've obviously got Jürgen Klopp. It looks like he could still be there, although there is interest from various sources around the press that Klopp now could be in high demand to go somewhere else in Europe today. Do you think Klopp will stick around at Dortmund?
Yeah, he will. I mean, I can't see him going anywhere else. There's nowhere else that he'd really want to go at the moment. I think, you know, Klopp is a coach who really, really relishes the challenge, and this is now a really new challenge for him. It's getting Dortmund back up to challenging Bayern, which they proved they can on Saturday night, and a Bayern side which everyone says is going to run away with every single trophy, and he'll be loving that challenge. And it's not like, you know, I mean, okay, they're losing Götze and Lewandowski, but it's talk of Eriksen coming in and perhaps De Bruyne, and if they can get a decent replacement for Lewandowski, they'll still have an extremely strong squad next year. And you know, they're all behind Klopp. I mean, this is the thing, the spirit in the Dortmund camp is still very, very strong. Although they were very dejected after the game, obviously, they're still very, very confident in their own ability. And as I say, they're given a good job. So I think Klopp, you know, he knows that he's in a system and in an environment where he can flourish and where he can thrive and he can create another really, really good team. And I think he'll take on that challenge.
Do you think then there's this worry, this panic maybe in some Dortmund fans' minds about the side being dismantled? Is this kind of all in people's heads, and Klopp has the ability to keep hold of a lot of these players that maybe could be looked at from other clubs around the globe?
I think he does, yeah. And I also think that for a lot of these players, there wouldn't really be an incentive to go elsewhere apart from perhaps money. I mean, you know, Bayern are not going to buy every single Dortmund player, because, you know, that's ridiculous. And you know, I mean, it's all Hummels maybe going to Barcelona, but, you know, Dortmund have enough financial power and enough footballing power now to really kind of make it hard for these clubs to sign these players. And I think they've learned their lesson on the buyout clauses with the Götze saga, so they'll be keen to kind of really keep on to those players. And also, there's no reason for those players to leave. I mean, they're still at the second best team in Germany, one of the top teams in Europe. They've got to a European final this year. I mean, it's still a very, very successful club. We're not talking about a club that's suddenly going to turn into a selling club and in the Europa League and all the rest of it. We're talking about a club that's still going places. So I think, yeah, there's enough devotion to Klopp, and there's enough of a good atmosphere in the club and a kind of family atmosphere in the club, that they'll keep enough of the squad to really build and get back to the top of the game again.
Of course, Dortmund don't have the squad depth that Munich do. We've seen them this year, of course, focus a lot of their energy on the Champions League and maybe neglecting slightly domestic competitions. Where does the focus switch to for next season? Do they want to regain the power back in Germany, or do they want to have another crack at going all the way in the Champions League?
Well, I think they'll be going for the league first and foremost, and I think that's the key thing, and that's also a big psychological thing. If they can really stay up there with Bayern this year, that would be a big sign for them that says, look, we're not that far behind you. You're not completely dominant, and you know, we are still around and all the rest of it. So I think, you know, I think the league is definitely going to be the bread and butter next year. But I think, you know, they'll be looking to expand the squad. They've got a couple of youth players coming up. They've got a fair few transfer targets, and you know, they'll have learned that they need perhaps a little bit more depth to survive in both competitions right to the end. And I mean, I'd be surprised if they got to another final. I'd be delighted for them, but I think that'd be surprising. I think they probably will finish second or first again in the Bundesliga, and probably have a decent Champions League campaign again next year. But I think, yeah, domestic competitions are going to be their kind of first priority.
Kit, it's going to be a very interesting season next season for Dortmund, and looking at how they bounce back from this year. And we hope that you'll join us throughout this the coming season in Germany. And of course, we'll be chatting with you in the summer as well, if that's all right, mate.
That's lovely, yeah.
We're all very jealous, by the way, here, that you were able to get inside the ground for Saturday night. So I hope it was worth it, mate. And we look forward to getting you back on as soon as possible.
All right, cheers, mate.
Cheers, Kit. Have a very good day. Kit Holden there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Champions League final and the Bundesliga.